This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour three of the Nightcap alongside Sean King. I am Tim Murray. Halftime at Pauley Pavilion. UCLA 40, Arizona 29. Here's the question, Sean. I have UCLA plus three. Do I sit back, hold on to that, or do I get greedy and take Arizona minus four second half and set myself up with a 12-point middle?
Well, when you look at statistically what happened in the first half, I think there's going to be a lot of regression in the second.
Arizona's 30.
UCLA shot 71% from three-point range. Arizona shot 26%, 4-15. So you presume that UCLA will miss a couple of their threes and Arizona will make a couple of theirs, which will probably put us in a down-to-the-wire type of game.
All right, let's bring in Eric Eager. Eric's always interested in some late-night investments. Eric, what do you think? Middle time? I got UCLA plus the three. We got Arizona laying four second half, down 11. And I agree with Sean. There's probably, I mean, UCLA 71% from three, Arizona 26%, UCLA 53% from the field, Arizona 35%. Do we tangle? Do we do a little, try to get a little late night fun here? Try to middle this bad boy?
Look, Tim, as somebody who bet with you the other night, what was it, Michigan State? Second half minus the points.
Oh.
We almost got there. The free
Wisconsin.
Throw nonsense.
It was Wisconsin.
Yeah. Wisconsin
against
was the house.
Michigan State. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the bet that we missed. By the way, Sean, I love the sweatshirt. Roll wave.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to go with you again here.
All right.
I think I'm going to go with you again just because, honestly, with no football for days, it feels like I do need to go with you here. From what Sean said, you are going to get some three-point shooting regression here, so I'm going to go with you.
So here we go. We have the bet has been put in.
Let's do it.
We're trying to get the middle because this is what I do, Eric. This is the keep Tim entertained on the Nightcap bets.
Now you middle all the way up to Arizona winning by seven, right?
Two. Yeah.
Okay. I thought you had UCLA plus.
Plus three.
Okay.
Yeah. So all right, here we go. Yeah, Eric, it got a little weird tonight. These were the bets that I had. I had Richmond, Michigan State, Siena, Missouri, Wyoming, New Mexico, and now UCLA and Arizona.
Yeah, we need an intervention, Eric.
Hey, Eric was on my side. Eric,
we're at code red on the Nightcap.
Eric is like Captain WNBA CFL better. He's going to be on my side on these things.
And not only that, USFL coming. USFL, by the way, Sean,
hey man,
if you need a quarterback, are you going to pick up the phone?
What a star-studded list of head coaches.
Yeah. My former Chiefs, me being a Chiefs fan, Chiefs legend Todd Haley coaching one of those teams.
But
my biggest question is for Mr. King here. If they call you, Sean, are you going to pick up the phone and be a quarterback in that league?
No. I love what I do.
Because I feel like I'd be more willing to bet it if I knew that you were one of the quarterbacks.
The thing with those leagues is they never last.
No. No.
Pick up and, like, move your family, change your life,
right,
to pursue that, like, in the last 5 years, how many of those leagues have we had pop up? Even a couple of them, like, we're getting some support, but none of them have lasted.
I will say, though, the betting is soft in those leagues, though. So they could make an XFL, USFL, AAF. If they made one of those every spring, the bankroll appreciates it.
So I do have a quick question about this past weekend's games, because I know that Mike Vrabel has a Pro Football Focus clicker on his belt. And I know you guys, assign different people to each head coach during the game. And
right,
I was
right.
told that you were the one that hit the clicker and said go for two instead of taking a 7-6 lead. So I just need some clarification.
And I know you tweeted about it, Sean. That's why I was prepared for this. So if you get a penalty – that gets it to the 1 yard line,
right,
you should almost always go for two, just because, especially if you're the Titans and you have Derrick Henry. I know Henry was coming off an injury, but your chance of slamming it in from the one is a lot better than most teams. And then I understand that obviously they didn't make it, so that, you know, set them back a little bit. But if you do make it, then the next touchdown you get, by the way, you can go for two again to go up 19-16. That's the other side of it, right? Like, so we all look at it and say, oh, you know, if they would have just kicked the extra point, then they'd be up 17-16, and maybe they're running out the clock. And, you know, it's questionable because, you know, the Bengals had all their timeouts, and, you know, Bengals field goal still beat 17-16. But if they make it, then the next touchdown to A.J. Brown possibly gets them a 3-point lead. You see what I'm saying? So I think there's a lot of benefit to going for it, if only because the average extra point is worth about 0.95 points, and the average 2-point conversion is worth 0.95 points when you go from the 2-yard line. If you go from the 1-yard line and you're running back Derrick Henry, your average conversion, I mean, it's worth about 1.2 points, 1.3 points. So it's just a mathematical play that you're doing at the beginning of the game there that can set you up to have an advantage if you were to make it later on in the game.
So what I'm about to say right now, because eventually I think Eric's going to become a GM, and this one response is going to put him in a position where he tells the owner, the only guy I'll hire is Sean King to be my head coach. Everything you said is 100% true, except as I put context on it, first pass of the game, if I'm on Mike Vrabel, my quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, throws it to the other team. My defense does a tremendous job holding them to a field goal, not giving up 7 points. We go back on the field. We have an unproductive drive. Cincinnati gets the ball back again. They take it down. My defense holds up in the red zone, forces them to kick a field goal. Finally, we have some things go right for us on offense, and we get down and score. So in a game where my quarterback obviously doesn't look like he's comfortable and confident and playing his best, in a game where we're the home team, the road team has kicked 2 field goals, or up 6-0, we could potentially still have the lead now. To me, that's the context that I wish some of the guys would implement into some of the decision-making, because just having the lead right there from an emotional standpoint, from an energy in the stadium standpoint, is so important. And that's why I would have kicked that extra point, because mathematically everything you say makes sense. But I also have the guy that gives us the advantage coming off of missing 3.5 months of football. Yeah. It looks like he's not running with the same vigor and physicality that he does when he's completely healthy. So I don't have the working version of him that I'm used to. So I just think when you take all those things into play, plus the fact that our defense was playing tremendous, you know, I take the lead there. I just do. I do it 100 out of 100 times, because the downside to me of not converting the 2-point conversion is way more important in a 6-0 game that we're losing than potentially being in a situation if we convert it and score again and get another 2-point conversion that mathematically it makes sense. Is that fair?
Yeah, and I mean, like, that is, like, if I was a GM, Sean, and you were my head coach, I'd certainly, like, make sure. Like, I think that the players have to be on board with these things, right? And when you look at a team like the Baltimore Ravens, you know, when John Harbaugh is like, hey, Lamar, do you want to go for it? And he's like, hell yeah, I do. Like, John knows the answer to that question beforehand, right? Like, you do need a team that has the habit of mind, absolutely. And I think any person, any coach that's worth his salt knows what his players feel, right? And I think your point is perfectly valid, having played the game before and knowing, you know, what it's like to have a 7-6 lead versus having a 6-6 tie, and all those things have to be evaluated, right? And yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, that's important. And you know, I think if you want to be an analytically driven team, you have to, you know, push it, you know, you have to at least, like, bring up the conversation, like, hey, what is this going to look like if we go for it and don't make it? Are you guys going to be okay with that? Or do you just want that 1 point?
You know, I'm so glad that you brought that game up, because I think that was Hundley. I think Lamar was hurt. And a lot of people thought when I said I had criticism for Harbaugh's calls that I was talking about the 2-point conversion. I wasn't. because I was in full agreement with that. I didn't love the play call because I didn't think he had enough options. But if you convert that one specific play, game's over. You win. My criticism of Harbaugh that game came on the first drive of the game when you're starting your backup quarterback and you have the ball first and goal from the five and you had gained 2 yards in three plays and they went for it on fourth down instead of taking the 3 points. And I was just thinking, backup quarterback, first drive of the game, points are so valuable. So I had more. I had an issue with that call, not the two-point attempt.
And those are all things to think about. I was talking about the Kansas City game in week two when they were like, it was fourth and one, and they're like, hey, let's beat Kansas City. You know, our assumptions are so different, right? Because, like, I played the game, but I stopped in college, and obviously you played in the NFL, and you know sort of like what these, you know, what NFL players believe and stuff. And it's important. I think that is lost a lot in the conversation is sort of like what the players believe. Cause I think if you are going to run a team, if you're Brandon Staley, let's say, and you're going to run the Chargers as a team where you're going for every fourth down, your team better know why, and your team better be all in, because if everybody is sort of dipping their toes into it, then I don't think it's nearly as effective, right? So you have to have everybody bought in to the way you're approaching football.
Hey, Eric, we're up against the break here. I know you're a busy man. Any chance for the Tulane Green Wave great and the anti-analytical guy here?
I'm not anti.
He's anti. Can you hang out for one more segment with us?
Of course, yeah, I'd love to.
All right, there he is, Eric Eager. We're going to break down championship weekend on the other side with Mr. E. It is the Nightcap on Visa.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. Bet Rivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from a local perspective. There are CityCasts in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, LA, New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and Washington, D.C., where they could talk about a 35-point blown lead. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast. Alongside Sean King, I am Tim Murray. Eric Eager, kind enough to hang out with us for another segment at @PFF_Eric on Twitter. Check out the PFF forecast. And he is, Mr. Eager, a big-time Chiefs fan. And the Chiefs are taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Sources tell me that you might be needing a thick jacket come Sunday evening. True or false?
Yeah, true. This is going to be, I'm trying to remember, this is my sixth Bengals game of the year because PFF's in Cincinnati with Chris owning the company. But this will be my second Bengals-Chiefs game. This will be my first Arrowhead game since the Chiefs beat the Titans in the 2019 AFC Championship game. So I'm really excited. I think this game will be a lot of fun. I can see that the money is coming in on Kansas City -6.5 early and now -7. I think that makes sense. Total has gone up as well. I kind of like under in that game, Tim.
Yeah, and it has the makings because what we just saw defensively from Kansas City was not great. And Cincinnati certainly has some big-time playmakers offensively for this to be a shootout. And now we've seen a total start at 50.5 and go to 55. So at what point does the resistance come? And it might be coming here shortly. But I want to start on the side because, you know, my mindset is always, not always, but more often than not, to go against the grain, go against the public. And I absolutely feel like the public's going to be firing away on the Chiefs. And if this thing gets to 7.5, I'm going to be intrigued to take the Bengals. I think they have the offensive firepower to, I wouldn't say go into Arrowhead and win, but you know, you look at that team and you were there, you know, wild card weekend when they beat the Raiders. They're not scared, man. And they beat this Kansas City Chiefs team already to clinch the AFC North. No one thought this team would win the AFC North, you know, preseason. So I don't think they go in there worried and shaking in their boots about the big bad Chiefs. I think they have the chance to keep this under the number.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, even in that game, they were down 14 two right. separate times. They went into halftime down 11, and they were not deterred. And that was a Chiefs team that I think, you know, that were they were on an 8-game winning streak. They had, you know, played really good defense up until that point. And, you know, yeah, I agree. I think the Bengals could very well keep this close. To me, I think you have to look at under, right? And the reason why you have to look at under is if the Chiefs get one stop on fourth down in the 2-minute drill against the Buffalo Bills, that game goes under, you know, Sunday. And we all look at it, oh, it's 77 points or whatever, ended up being 78 points, I think. And, you know, we all look at that, and ultimately that would have gone under 54.5 if they stopped the Buffalo Bills on a fourth down where they had Josh Allen dead to rights. And, you know, when you look at the way the pace of that game played, the Chiefs played great offense, but against the defenses that the Chiefs play now, they have to cross the street 10 or 12 times on the way to the end zone. And that just takes a lot of time. And, you know, there could be a game where even if the Bengals are really good in this game, it's one of those where both teams have three or four possessions and we're at halftime and it's 14-10 because both offenses are efficient, but there aren't those explosive plays. And I think that's a very real possibility here. And that's why, you know, when I look at this game, I think the Chiefs will have success offensively, but it won't be 70 yards at a time. It'll be 5 yards at a time. And the Bengals, you know, when you look at their game against Tennessee, it was, they weren't a disaster offensively. They were picking up yards. They were getting yards of the catch. They were running the ball well, especially in the second half, not so much the first half. And Burrow would take a sack and field goal range. And it's like, if that happens against the Chiefs, you know, they're going to be trading field goals for touchdowns. And if they do that, I think under 54.5, the bit, what'll end up being the biggest total in the playoffs so far, that's a fairly solid bet.
You know, the only thing I think that keeps me from leaning under is Cincinnati's greatest deficiency is pass protection. Yet the Chiefs are nowhere close to Tennessee when, from a defensive front standpoint, at getting pressure on the quarterback. And you just look at the success that, you know, Gabe Davis had, 8 for 201 and 4. Jamar Chase had 11 for 266 and 3. Like, I think the Chiefs are they lack confidence in the secondary right now. I think the Bengals are licking their chops. They're going to be able to exploit it. You know, I honestly think Patrick Mahomes is going to have to play a better game of football on Sunday to win this game than he did this past Sunday. That's how in the game I think the Bengals are going to be. I think they're confident. I think they love the fact that they can attack this defense and they don't have to worry about, you know, two defensive linemen that are, you know, maybe in the conversation for best at their position. You know, if we're really being honest, maybe not the most well-known names in the guys in Tennessee, but they're really good. So I think Bengals are going to put up points, and I think Mahomes will have to really, really go in his bag of tricks for Kansas City to win.
Yeah, I mean, Landry and Simmons are terrific players. I think Chris Jones, yeah, at times, like there was a 10-week stretch during the season where no one had more pressures than Chris Jones, whether that was edge, linebacker, or interior defensive lineman. So I think he can certainly be that player. But, you know, there are motivational aspects with him where some weeks he just disappears. I thought Melvin Ingram played a great game against Buffalo. He just didn't get home nearly as much as he should have based on his pressures. But, yeah, Frank Clark has not been the player the Chiefs, you know, traded for from Seattle a couple years ago. And that could be an issue. You know, I will say this in the Chiefs' defense, they got the Buffalo Bills to a lot of fourth downs and a lot of third downs Sunday. And, you know, conversions on third and fourth downs, as we all know, are pretty random. And so I think the Chiefs caught the wrong end of variance in that game. And they caught the wrong end of variance in the first Cincinnati game. And I will say, you know, against Cincinnati, they were without Rashad Fenton, a pretty good corner for them. He was also out against Buffalo. Chances are he's going to play this week. And then Tyrann Mathieu, you know, probably their best player in the secondary, did not play for the majority of that Buffalo game. He'll be back after concussion protocol in all likelihood against Cincinnati. So I do think they'll be a better defensively than what we saw against Buffalo. But yeah, I think if you do get the worst out of the Chiefs, you know, the Bengals can very much exploit that.
Talk once again to Eric Eager at PFF underscore Eric from Pro Football Focus. Joins us every Tuesday in this spot, has done so all throughout the NFL season, which has been great. All right, let's get to the evening affair in Los Angeles, SoFi Stadium, Rams and 49ers, familiar foes. The stats are out there, 6 straight wins for Kyle Shanahan over Sean McVay, but yet the Rams are laying 3.5 here. Got bet down from 4 down to 3.5. Value on the dog in this spot? It seems, as I would say, a little too good to be true sitting there with that hook.
Yeah, and early in the week it was minus 120. Now it's minus 110, so you do see some money coming on the Rams. I think the matchup differential is real. If you look at the Rams, they disguise coverages more than any team in the NFL. On early downs, it's more than 40%. But against teams that aren't San Francisco, the Rams have disguised coverage on 43% of early downs this year. Against the Niners in the two games, just 29%. The Niners do so much motion, so much deception, so much unique things on offense that the Rams have a hard time playing their actual defense against them. And I think that that's what people are, you know, when they buy into the 49ers against the Rams, it's legitimate things. It's not just the noise that has made San Francisco beat the Rams two times in six of the last six times. It's that Shanahan offense. You know, the Rams have engineered a defense to beat the high-powered passing offenses of the NFL, the Bucs of the world, which they did a pretty good job the other day, the Chiefs, who might play in the Super Bowl, the Bills, you know, those teams that have the great quarterbacks. And San Francisco all the while is sitting here, and I've made the analogy to, you know, the San Francisco 49ers are kind of that second prettiest girl in the beautiful mind where everybody's trying to look at the prettiest girl and trying to go after her. And all the while, the second prettiest girl is the one, in fact, that's having a day. And I think the Niners are a lot like that. Everybody's maximizing their defense to beat the Chiefs and the Bucks and the Buffalo Bills of the world. And meanwhile, they're able to take advantage of them. Because they run a sort of really fun motion, heavy personnel set, and the Rams are trying to play six defensive backs with the smallest box counts in the NFL, and it's just really hard to match up that way.
Eric, before we let you run, we got about 45 seconds, so it feels like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, your favorite plays for each game, it would be under in Cincy, Kansas City, and then taking the points with San Francisco?
Yeah, I think my favorite bet is the Niners plus 3.5. I think under in that Cincy Kansas City game, my model does like Cincinnati. I just, as a Chiefs fan, I just have a hard time taking the points, even though it would be something of an emotional hedge as we try to make the Super Bowl for the third straight year.
Eric, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the game and might be celebrating another opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. Thanks, man.
You guys are the best. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Good stuff, Eric.
Eric Eager, PFF _. Eric, check out the PFF forecast as well. He and George Zahuri, great stuff. That's Sean. I'm Tim. More to come on the other side right here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you miss any part of our show or anything on the VSiN schedule today, don't forget to check out our free sports betting podcast. Catch replays of all our shows or download and listen on your schedule. Go to VSiN.com/podcast. You'll get Beating the Book with Gil Alexander, Market Insights with Josh Applebaum. We've got Hardwood Handicappers, the Lombardi Line, Follow the Money, My Guys in the Desert, Coast to Coast Hoops, all of that and more. Guess what? They're all free and available at VSiN.com/podcast. Alongside Sean King, I am Tim Murray. Thanks to Eric Eager for joining us. Favorite play from E, 49ers plus the points. Felt like it's a bad matchup.
He's a smart
for
guy.
The Rams. He is.
Yeah.
That's the way you're leaning as well.
Yep.
By the way,
both dogs.
You like Nashville tonight.
Yeah.
On the puck line.
I gave Stormy that play is the Puck Stradamus play of the day for her show. Predators puck line. There's 8.2 seconds, so I don't want to mush myself, but looks like the Predators are going to get a nice plus 145 on the puck line, win at the Kraken.
Very nice. So hopefully that comes home. I was on Stormy's show today.
Yeah.
Always fun to be on Visit with Stormy.
I never get invited.
On My Guys in the Desert. That's not true.
I don't. I've never been invited to My Guys in the Desert.
You can just pop on in.
No.
Fire up the Skype machine and head on in. Well, I don't know if I'll be back. I went 1-0-1 on my plays on the show today.
Because you gave too many plays. You just gave one. Should have figured out the one that was going to hit. Give that one. Boom. Move on.
Oh, thank you. UCLA right now up 56-46. We'll see if I got too cute. Probably did, but you never know. I took UCLA plus the 3 pregame.
Mm-hmm.
They were up 40-29 at the half. So what did we do? We said, let's try to middle this puppy.
Let's do it.
We laid the 4 with Arizona second half. And right now they're leading the second half by 1. So we'll see. We need UCLA by 1-6 or Arizona by 1-2. And we win both our bets. So 0 doesn't count because that forces overtime, obviously. So we got 8 points here we're working with. 8-point window. A window of opportunity. Let's see if we can middle this bad boy and have ourselves a real good night.
Let's do it.
You know, I had a good night.
Aaron.
The Golden State Warriors. Yes, Aaron did have a good night. His Maryland Terrapins beat Rutgers at the rack. By the way, Rutgers at home this year in Big Ten play, 4-0 straight up, 3-0 as a dog outright. And they were a favorite tonight, and Maryland Terrapins got it done, 68-60, covered. And well, they were dogs. So they won outright, so big win there for the Terps. But I was going to say, how about the Golden State Warriors tonight? I mean, they absolutely obliterated the Dallas Mavericks. 130-92, the final score tonight, as the Warriors take care of business. Overhits in that one, obviously cover the number with ease. Luka Doncic, 25 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists. Steph Curry continues to struggle a bit from 3. Just 2 of 10 from 3 tonight. He had 18 points. Klay Thompson had 15. Off the bench, Jonathan Kuminga, the rookie, continues to play quite well. He hit 4 threes tonight. Jordan Poole from Michigan, 17 points. They go deep, man. And Golden State, an impressive 130-92 win over the Dallas Mavericks.
And they did it with no Draymond.
Mm-hmm.
And James Wiseman still has not played a game this year because of knee surgery. So they still aren't full throttle yet.
Lakers won tonight in Brooklyn. Granted, it was a limping Brooklyn Nets. No Kevin Durant, no Kyrie because of the COVID vaccine rules in New York City.
Yeah, it's not because of the COVID vaccine. It was because he won't get vaccinated.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Don't make it seem like it's the city of New York's fault. Come on.
As you would say, I'm just reporting the news here. Just saying why he wasn't playing tonight. Right. Why he's allowed to play on the road, but not at home. Good hit, Arizona.
I just wish he'd only take half the money. I respect it more than.
James Harden at 33 in the loss. He had a triple-double. LeBron, 33, 7 boards, 6 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks for LeBron. 0 turnovers tonight for LeBron James as they get the win on the road. Anthony Davis returned, and he finished with 8 points in 25 minutes. 4 blocks for the Lakers. When you look at the Lakers come the postseason, we talked to Kurt Heelan earlier in the show. The Western Conference got Phoenix at the top, Golden State, Memphis, Utah. Right now, the Lakers, as of right now, this moment, they're the 8 seed. Anthony Davis back. You'd assume, can they get out of that play-in situation? How much trust do you have
in
the Lakers?
How many teams make the playoffs?
Well, 10 total if you include the play-in. 6 avoid the play-in. Oh, missing layups. I mean, Arizona, I don't know who.
So it's 8 total.
By the way, I don't know who this Arizona team is tonight. They look awful.
Yeah, I'm glad I left that game alone. So,
wow.
So to answer your question right now.
Yeah, you liked Arizona.
The Lakers would play the Suns in the first round, which means they'd probably be done in round one.
No, right now.
They're the 8th seed.
Yeah.
They play the 1 seed, right?
No. If they beat Minnesota in the play-in, then they would play the Golden State Warriors.
So the 1 seed gets a bye?
No.
In the first round?
No. The play-in tournament. So the 7 plays the 8.
Right.
And the 9 plays the 10.
Right.
The winner of the 9-10 game plays the loser of the 7-8 game.
Okay.
The winner of the 7-8 game
is automatically in.
Gets the 7 seed.
Okay.
And then that's how you get your top 8 seeds.
But I'm just saying either somebody's going to be the 7 seed, somebody's going to be the 8 seed.
Right.
So my point being, right now the Lakers will be playing Phoenix. If they finished first in this little quasi one game tournament,
yeah,
they would be playing
Golden
State.
If they beat Minnesota head to head, they would play Golden State.
Right, which is like six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. Sure. Like, they're not beating either one of those teams. I don't know that either one's an easier matchup because both of those teams are going to force you to play sound, solid, consistent defense. So they're going to put up a bunch of points on you.
I mean, it's funny. You think back to last year, and look, the Lakers got a lot to figure out. But last year, they go up 2-1 over the Suns. Mm-hmm. They're a massive favorite to win that series because they were a poor matchup for the Suns. But then Anthony Davis gets hurt, and they become...
Which is always a possibility.
Right.
Doesn't he seem to always get hurt?
He's been banged up over his career.
The likelihood
of
him getting hurt is going to be higher now because he's forced to play center. Because they're not playing Dwight Howard. I mean, I don't even know why they have a... What's the guy he's played for the Clippers?
DeAndre Jordan?
Yeah, I don't know why he's on the team. I mean, he's been washed since the Clippers days. That's going to make him probably more likely to get injured because at least when he plays the, like, swing 3-4, like, when they were really good in the bubble. You know why they were really good? Because they had Dwight Howard and they had JaVale McGee. Mm-hmm. To protect the rim, to do all the dirty work, and AD could kind of just float around. And
yeah, but their best lineups in the bubble were when he went to five.
No. So I felt like their advantage was when they had the rim protection and the guy doing the dirty work, boxing people out, getting the tough rebounds in traffic. Like, to me, those are the reasons that AD doesn't want to play the five. Because it forces you to get all those little nicks and bruises that come with being under the basket, trying to chase down rebounds, you know, getting knocked to the floor. He's trying to avoid all of that.
I mean, if you look at...
And that made him huge, too, by the way.
The numbers of when they played him at the five, they were, like, through the roof, efficiency and all that. So, but, I mean, this, I don't know. I mean, once again, Russell Westbrook's on that team. I don't know how they're...
I won't look that up.
I don't know how they're figuring it out. I really don't. So, we'll see. They won tonight. Anthony Davis is back. You know, played a banged up... You keep missing threes, Arizona. Good job.
It's only 11, so it's even.
No, we're down.
I thought it was 11 at the half.
Yeah, it was 40 to... 20.
So they made a little comeback.
7 was... for 24 from three.
I mean, the basket's moving.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm serious.
I bet a team tonight, they still got to push somehow that shot, what, like 24% from three. And I don't know. They're going to play each other again in Arizona-UCLA in about 10 days. That's going to be a fascinating matchup, man.
To me, the thing is the layups. Like, a three-point shooting, to me, like Charles Barkley always says, you live by the three, you die by it. You know, I don't think you can make a living out there every game. But they've been, I mean, from the field, they can't be shooting better than 30, 35%.
No.
Like, they've missed more layups. Like,
there's another
right
one.
Right on cue, two of them in a row. I mean, they can't make layups right now.
This is a fact. I mean, Arizona is leading the nation in scoring margin. They're at like 24.4 points per game. But what did I mention before the show?
Excuse me.
In the Pac-12, who have they beaten? I mean, they have really beaten up on the cellar dwellers in the Pac-12. They haven't had a road chance like this against a UCLA team that's top 10 in the country.
Here's what's ironic. If you just look at the rankings, you're like, oh, man, the Pac-12 is tough this year. But I think Pac-12 is a little overrated in basketball. I don't think USC.
I think Arizona and UCLA are the real deal. UCLA went to the Final Four last year.
They did.
Arizona's got.
I like their team last year better.
But you like their team last year better when they almost lost to Michigan State in the play-in.
Yeah, but they went to the Final Four. I thought they played with a little more moxie.
It's a lot easier to say I like them better.
But I'm talking about the way they play.
They're going to be a 2 seed. They were an 11 seed last year.
Yeah, they're playing a pudding conference.
Tonight,
their schedule's easy.
Here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's never too early to prepare for the big game, and we want to make sure VSiN is part of your plans. We'll be with you throughout the playoffs, and then on championship weekend, we'll have 56 hours of free video coverage on VSiN.com leading up to our 6th annual live BetCast. It's the biggest game of the year, so make your plans now to join VSiN betting experts before, during, and after the action at VSiN.com. SuperBowlTV.com. Alongside Sean King. Can't remember where he went and played his college ball. I am Tim Murray. We got UCLA, Arizona, 8 minutes to go in this one at Pauley Pavilion. UCLA leading by 10.
UCLA is going to win by 4. You're going to smack this right in the middle.
Oh, man, that would be glorious.
Yeah.
Took UCLA plus the 3 pregame and laid the 4 in the second half. So we need anywhere from an Arizona 1-2 point victory to UCLA 1-6 point victory, and we get ourselves a juicy-looking middle.
There you go.
So we will see.
It's down to 8. It was 11 at the half. So
8-point game. Getting close.
What'd you have, -4.5 in
minus
the second?
-4.
-4.
We need to get to 7 would be a push. Okay. 6 would be a win.
No, they're never in doubt. This is over.
Well, that's why I put the plus shirt on tonight, because I knew I was coming in here with Missouri. We had Siena, almost got there with Siena. And, man, UCLA's hitting some jumpers tonight, man. They are. They're looking good.
7 minutes left. You got plenty of time.
That's a good possession. Come down. Got Steve Kerr.
Well, I mean, he do have his socks pulled up and a headband on.
Well, he's wearing 25. He went to Arizona, but his last name is, I think it's K-I-E-R, and he wears Steve Kerr's number.
Yeah.
So, we got that going on. That's pretty much it left on the board. Sean was able to give out a winner to Stormy, Nashville Puck Line. Didn't text me that, but that's cool.
I just
gave you winners give it out earlier today you decided not to use, but that's cool.
So tomorrow, call me with your best college basketball play. Don't text me with a list of six.
No.
Just give me the best play. If it wins, it wins. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
I'm not reaching out to you for you to make bets. If you want my information that I'm personally going to bet, you can reach out to me.
Now, for those that watch our show on a consistent basis, we really appreciate you guys. The irony in what the Ginger Genius just said is unfathomable.
We're gonna get.
This is a guy that comes on and lambasts me daily because I don't put out my Puckstradamus plays, and then he just had the audacity to say on live television, "I'm not gonna call you and give you my plays. I have to reach out to you."
Yeah.
But you openly criticize me because I don't.
Because you don't
call
put
you
on Twitter.
But yeah,
I put New Mexico on Twitter. I went on Stormy's show and said Missouri.
Well, you didn't put your basketball plays on Twitter, did you?
Put New Mexico on there.
That's just one.
I know. Well, you told me my best play.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to.
I'll text you Puckstradamus plays tomorrow. You're not going to play them, though.
Let's get to tomorrow, and I'll look at the college basketball slate here.
Good shot tonight, Aaron, too. Our producer came through. He gave me one play, Colorado State, never in doubt.
Yeah, you put
good
it on,
call, Ayo.
You put it on a six-leg parlay in college basketball, which is.
Well, that was the one I got right.
All right. So I feel a little dirty doing this.
Then why do it?
But I gotta go against my guy tomorrow. I mean, it's been so fruitful. But you're
going against Shaka?
You gotta know at some point when to go against someone. And Marquette has been just glorious for us as a dog, have been bearing fruit after fruit after fruit. And at some point you have to know when to jump off. And Marquette now is a top 25 program. They are going on the road to Seton Hall. And we faded Seton Hall earlier this week. After they beat St. John's on Saturday, they had to host St. John's again on Monday, and they got thumped. Now, 2 days later, here comes Marquette. Over the weekend, Marquette coming in fresh off of a win off Xavier at home. Marquette has won 6 straight, including in that stretch, Sean, a controversial win at the Fiserv Forum as a home dog against Seton Hall. Seton Hall's laying 4. Seems a little fishy to me that a team that is coming off a loss is now laying 4 against a team that they've already lost to, and they're playing a team with a 6-game winning streak. I think Seton Hall gets their revenge. I like the Pirates to take care of our guy, Shaka Smart. Gonna feel dirty, but I like the Pirates at home tomorrow.
You threw me a curveball because I thought for sure the second 8:30 game was where you were going.
Oh, I'm going there too.
Because Davidson has bought you so much pain.
I'm going against him again.
Are you serious?
I got to. I have to. So for those who don't know, Davidson is riding one of the longest winning streaks in the country.
You know the Great Ghost is playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to go against him again?
Yeah, Michael Jones.
How many times does Michael Jones have to put daggers in your heart before you become a believer? See, at one point, this was Steph Curry. And people were like, there's no way that Curry kick can shoot like that again. I want to fade.
Michael Jones ain't Steph Curry.
He shoots like him.
So they're playing VCU.
Mike Jones, who?
I had VCU.
Oh, I'm going to enjoy tomorrow's show.
Last week. I haven't decided if I'll play this one yet. I'm definitely. I haven't decided if I'm this crazy.
I'm telling you now, this game comes on at 5:30. If you go against Michael Jones and we walk in this studio at 7 and he's got 26, I'm just telling you, you're going to hate me tomorrow.
I mean, I can't.
How many times a kid got to put a dagger right in the middle like of your heart for you not to finally believe in him? And they're at home. They're favored.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect. I'm going to take the points. VCU, baby. They got revenge on their minds.
Tomorrow's show going to be exciting.
VCU. Give me the
Don't say I didn't tell you.
Give me the Rams.
Don't say I didn't tell you.
VCU. Fun fact about VCU. Their head coach, Mike Rhodes, I'm pretty sure, I can say this confidently, is the only active Division I basketball coach that has ever had a scouting report on your boy. Because I played against him when he was the head coach at Randolph-Macon College. And, you know, somehow, some way, he held me to four points. I mean, that alone.
I think lack of minutes.
That alone.
Might have contributed to that as well.
Oh, man. UCLA is pulling away. They're up.
Can someone find a Twitter handle of the Gray Ghost? I need to reach out to one Michael Jones and just let him know. It'd be very, very beneficial for me if he has a tremendous game tomorrow.
By the way, of course, so I faded Davidson in back-to-back games. They ripped out my heart.
Yeah.
In two straight games.
One kid in particular.
Then they go on the road. And they lay an egg. They come back. They beat Fordham over the weekend, but they don't cover. Of course, I didn't bet that. So
because there was a look-ahead game. They were looking at VCU coming to town.
VCU's fired up, man.
So is Davidson.
Nah,
they're finally ranked. They're 25th in the country now.
Big spot.
Yeah.
Big spot to take.
The whole college is only like 675 kids in the whole university. They'll all be at the game.
I haven't decided yet, but I am leaning towards
Davidson. Don't go against Mike Jones. He has your number.
By the way, Arizona is in trouble here for this middle. Did you get too cute?
Not really. I thought it was a good bet.
Yeah. I agreed. You know, regression would happen, but.
Well, the thing that you could not account
UCLA,
for.
UCLA.
You couldn't account for Arizona missing the layups. I mean, they've missed at least 10 layups in the limited time I've been watching in the second half.
Anything Puckstradamus is in?
Yes. So, again, I will come out with the official card tomorrow. But the first play that jumped out at me when I looked at tomorrow's slate, it's a smaller slate, but I do love Colorado-Boston over 6. The Boston Bruins are at the Colorado Avalanche. The Avalanche have played two consecutive games that went under, sort of similar to Vegas, who played a 1-0 game against the Rangers the other night. They lost a game at home. They broke out today, and they lost, but the game went over the total 4-3. They lost to the Hurricanes. I anticipate the Avalanche game will be very similar tomorrow against the Bruins, who both are off tonight. They'll have their legs under them. I see a high-scoring affair. Avalanche are great at home. I still don't like laying that big number you have to lay with the Avalanche, but Puckstradamus for tomorrow, Wednesday, Avs-Bruins over 6.
All right. I will go officially – Marquette, no, sorry.
Did you make a play on that?
Seton Hall, -4.
Okay.
VCU, +4.5.
As long as you don't attach my over 6 to that dumb VCU +4 bet. Just telling you, man. How many times the kid got to do it to you before he makes you a believer?
Well, maybe one more time.
All right, here's what happens. When the show starts tomorrow, mm-hmm. you're not allowed to get all in your feelings if Mike Jones is going off.
Yeah, that game, by the way, that game's going to be ending
right.
when we start the show.
5:30, yeah. It'll probably be
this is what I do.
6 minutes left.
But regardless, it'll be entertaining. That's what I do. I am here to entertain the people.
You're like one of those people, like after Jordan won the first 3 in a row and retired. Oh, he's never
coming back. I love
the
Blazers.
He's never coming back.
I bet the Blazers. Yeah.
Jordan will never be the same.
Sonics. I bet the Jazz. And I bet the Jazz again.
Mike Jones is like Steph Curry when he's a Davidson. A lot of similarities.
Yeah, except that he won't go 7th overall in the NBA draft. How about that? Scott Seidenberg's up next. That's Sean. I'm Tim. We're back tomorrow. Faden Davidson, baby!